Thank you. Thank you. and find each of our hearts toward thee in thanksgiving for the blessings of this day. And wouldst thou, for the glory of thy grace, be pleased, have mercy on each home which here represented. May thou bestow upon us thy blessed and bountiful hand of peace and the pardon which none but thy covenant children know. Wouldst thou forgive our many sins and transgressions? Wouldst thou keep us near to thy blessed self? Wouldst thou hand us down to the grave in peace, abide with us through all of our trials and changes, and at last on us as trophies of thy cross? For Christ's sake we beg to ask it in his name. Amen.
His promise is, I'll come to you. And this man
One in these scriptures which are given by the inspiration says in the singular. It says in the singular, it doesn't say in the plural. But it says, now unto him that is able. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you. Now just think of that. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Here is a scripture that's given by the inspiration of God. And it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Now just think of that saying. Poor dying men and women, afflicted beyond the help of all the things that this world can provide, how thankful we ought to be that God has provided one that is able to keep you from falling. And not only so, but to present you before the presence of his throne, not with joy, no, but with exceeding joy. You know, the thought always comes that there's eternity would be a never-ending thing. Why, possibly we'd get tired of it. We'd grow weary of it, because eternity has been described as a hummingbird taking one grain of sea of sand from the east coast to the west coast and taking 10,000 years to a trip. And when he'd moved all of the sand from the seashore, eternity would just be gone. But it's not with joy, it's with exceeding joy and full of glory. God has prepared for his people a city that's eternal and into heaven. And he's raised up a people. He's raised up a people that do hunger and thirst for that city. And all of their hope of ever seeing that city or ever being saved from destruction is that this God that's able to keep them from falling, embrace them with faithful Abraham in the covenant of grace, when he said, blessed, I'll bless thee, and multiply, and I'll multiply thee. And he said to Adam, look now toward the heavens, and he saw the stars, but as a feeble figure, and he was commanded to look at the dust of the earth, and they were just feeble figures of the blessings in Christ Jesus. The dust of the earth and the stars of the heavens are just little feeble figures of the blessings in Christ. And as none guesses how glorious the journey will prove, but all scripture is profitable for the man of God. A man of God being a sinner that's made to know what he is by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That narrow path that no vulture's eye has seen, that no lion's whelp has trod, is a revelation. Here a little and there a little, a line upon line, in the which that a man lives to learn of at the hands of the master teacher that he's God and beside him there's none else, and that he loved his children with an everlasting love. And in the scriptures which cannot be broken, there's exceeding great and precious promises that by these things, by these exceeding great and precious promises, that we'd be saved, all Israel would be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation and be separated from those people that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. There never has been and there never will be a one of God's children that raised up and taught from the hand of the master teacher that believes that it takes Jesus and something else to save him from his sin. But no, if Christ is the treasure that I desire, I've none in heaven besides thee, as there's none on earth that I desire besides thee, because he's my all and in all, and persecution and affliction which come unto me, all appointed by the hand that made heaven and earth, and in the cup of affliction which all of God's children must and shall assuredly drink in this life, you'll find that the dregs in that cup are not bitterness, they are not wrath, but the dregs of the cup of affliction are love. If it's as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. It's because that you're the sons of God that he visits by your iniquities with stripes, and chastens and scourges you, and puts you in the furnace of affliction as the refiner. But says he'll try you, like his gold is tried, in the furnace of affliction. And these are the people that live to learn, that if they're people that are without chastisement, it's because that they're dead, it's because that they're bastards, and because they're not the sons of God. If God chastised every person in the state of Virginia, the Armenians would never feel it, because the dead know not anything. If God cast them into a furnace of affliction, they'd never be afflicted, because the dead cannot feel anything, and they do not know anything. But there is a people that long tossed on their beds at night. They're troubled, and their heart is cast down within them, and they feel the ends of the earth, and they are a troubled people. And in these blessed scriptures that was given by the inspiration of God, it is be of good cheer. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I will overcome the world. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And God is in his children, and his children are in him, and he dwells in them, and he walks in them, and his eye is always over all of his works. And he said, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And if a man believes that what God has thought, so shall it come to pass. He believes that God's all-embracing thought of all things before ever anything was ever come to pass. It's as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And that as I have thought, God's thought is nothing more and nothing less than his predestination, and you can disprove it if you can, but this book says, and it's given by inspiration, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. And in the purposes of God, he has purposed to send the Comforter, and when he's come, he'll take the things of mine and show them unto you. And when the Comforter comes, and he begins to set up his kingdom in you, he comes like a moth to Ephraim, and he eats up all your clothes, and he strips you naked. And it's like the scripture that says, that instead of the well-set hair, there'll be baldness. Instead of a sweet smell, there'll be a stink. And she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. And it's when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, that I, the Lord, will hear their cry. And for this shall everyone cry. By the time when he shall be heard, it's Lord have mercy on me, a sinner. And every last one of these fellows, down through this book, you can read where the thing of the Lord appeared unto this one, and the Lord appeared unto that one, and the Lord appeared unto the other one, and he appeared to the man that wrote this scripture here, and he said, and last of all, he appeared unto me as one born out of due season. And if he don't appear unto you sometime or other in this world to teach you your sinnership, and to teach you your nothingness, and to teach you your great need of a Savior, and to teach you and to bring you out of death into the kingdom of the Son of God, and to give you a good hope that's anchored within the veil, unless that the great physician do this, the best doctor on the face of the earth will only wrap you up in filthy rags. There's not any cure, there's not any help, there's not any balm in Gilead, only as the Lord Jesus Christ is pleased to save his people and have mercy upon Israel and Zion. And he says here, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. What was it that the man was assured of and that he had learned? What is it in the scriptures? If be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor be his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel of power, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Something was given you in Christ Jesus before the world began. It's going to reach you at God's time like a river that makes glad the city of God. You can't tell where it come from. You can't tell where it's going, because lo and behold, it'll spring up in you like a well of water into everlasting life. And all God's children I know in their soul they've got a hand of faith that believes the things that are written in this sacred volume as being the faithful and true sayings of God, and all of these exceeding great and precious promises among such a thing is he that cometh unto me. Now listen at that. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now just think of that. Who is it in this country that preaches that you might get cast out? Every last one, except the Grace Baptist, always have and always will preach. They always preach that God loves everybody, that he died and tried to save everybody. But if God loved everybody, you'd never read of wrath to come, because the only love in God is an everlasting love. And he loves somebody, and he hates somebody, and if somebody just and somebody unjust, knowing therefore that a man is not justified by the deeds of the law, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb slain without blemish and without spot. And if that blood was shed for me, every time it rained on me, it rained on a just man. And if that blood was not shed for me, as one whose name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world, every time the sun rises on me, it rises on an evil and a wicked one. And every time it rains on me, it rains on an unjust one, because the potter hath power over the clay to make vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And he says, hath not the potter a power over the clay to make one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor? And all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable of the doctrine, and the doctrine that the first man that wrote in this book preached, it sounded just exactly like this. Only he preached in power, being a mighty servant of God that stood on a mountain and talked with God face to face. And he says, the eternal God is thy refuge. That's the scripture. That's the doctrine that's preached by Moses. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. How different that is from get busy and do bodily exercise and bring your money and kill your cattle and all of those things. But here it was, the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I remember Elmer Hatch, that used to preach years ago, and I was just a boy, and he said, you never go too low, but what them everlasting arms was always under you. And he's a very present help in trouble, a very present help in trouble. Just think of that. And the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath of the everlasting arms, he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. Now, who's going to help him? Does he need any help? Who's going to hinder him? He's got all power both in heaven and in earth. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone, and the fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine and oil. And that's the gospel that Moses preached, for the gospel that the next one preached, they wrote in the Bible. And the next one, and the next one was always in direct harmony. The prophet Isaiah, his doctrine sounded about like this. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received at the Lord's hand double for all of her sin. God's children are received double for all of their sin. How? Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. He loved us of old, and he set his affection on his children in the stillness of eternity. And then he did predestinate, and then he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. And he said to himself, that it's come ye to the water, and buy without money and without price. It's all free. It's all flowing from that beautiful fountain, that eternal tree of life, that lives yesterday and today and forever. To plead our cause above, he lives. He lives. Who once was dead, he lives. of to love his people are the same, with the same everlasting love. He lives to supply their every need. He lives to rule and reign and work all things after the counsel of his own will. And he's God of the living, and he's God of the dead, that he both died and rose from the dead, that he might be God both of the dead and of the living. Don't tell me that I'll not die when my time comes to die. And your fathers that received you in the sweet fellowship, they all did eat manna in the wilderness. And what did they do? They died. That's what they did. These all died in the faith. But there's a God to heaven that explains it this way. And this is the scripture, and it's given by the inspiration of God. I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me, although he were dead, yet shall he live. And the prophet said, thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. And God himself has said, that you know that I'm the Lord. Well, the day when I open your grave to pick you up out of your grave, what a blessing, what a glorious hope it is, that although that we're as black as the tents of Kedah, we, the servant of the Lord, must not strive. Who is it that believes that the servant of the Lord must not strive? But it's they that wait upon the Lord that shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and shall not faint. Why? Because they have seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I've seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The first time that I ever saw the beauty of holiness was around the communion table at Payne Creek Church. And I looked at Odell Thompson, and I saw a power around that man that not of this world's production, but there's something that overshadows God's children. That's a throne and a glory and a beauty that this world knows nothing about. When I was a young man, Hitler was on his throne, and Mussolini was on his throne. But this scripture says, thy throne, O God, is forever. Where is Hitler now? And where is Mussolini now? Why, they're back to the dust, because God is God, and he rules over all of his works, not supremely and universally. But there is a throne of it nothing can shake, and it's better that concerning that throne. Wherefore, seeing we have a throne of grace, let us come boldly to obtain grace to help in every time of need. God's children are a poor, and they're an afflicted people, but yet they've got a God that hath made them holy and without blame before him in love, and hath condescended to reveal it to them, that it was because that it was his good pleasure to give them a kingdom. He gives you a kingdom, and that kingdom cannot be moved. It cannot shake, though earth, though columns bow. And that God has set the day when all the church redeemed with blood is going to hear him say, come. And when he says, come, that's the word of the king. And where the word of a king is, there's power. There's power. He says to Lazarus, come forth. And here he comes. And if he'd have said no, he would have went. Because this is God, and he says, concerning the world, they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall after their own lust teach to themselves teachers having itching ears. Who is it that ought to take up friendship with the world, and undertake to teach his neighbor or his brother to know the Lord? Why, friendship with the world is enmity against God. And over in the scriptures, God's children are admonished, come out from among them, and be you a separate people, and to touch not the unclean thing. And so it is, that God being our helper, we walk that separation path, which is the path of power. And this we will do, if the God of heaven puts forth the drawing. If God is drawing you, you are walking after him. And if you are not following Jesus, it's simply because that he's not drawing you. But he says, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to me. He can do that without drawing any wicked men at all. And he says, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to me. For as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And if I be lifted up, will draw all men to me. And I know when Jesus commences to draw man, honest, he always feels himself weighed in the balance and found wrong. He always feels that he's a sinner, and he feels like that he's a brand snatched from the burning, and that he's saved by grace if he's saved at all, because it's worldly, and I'm undone, and a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. And if God should deal with me according to my deeds, and judge me at last according to what I've done, I'd be gone well without end. But God has so ordained it that he will send his son. And he come down here and he wept with his people over the trouble that he was going to shed his blood to cure. And he wept when they wept, and he wept with them. He broke bread with them. But in the issue, he saved them by his grace. And there went out a fountain that's got all the power in it, and all the life in it, and all that's needful to pick you up and to change and fashion you like unto his own glorious body. And I want to say that everybody that's embraced in that glorious work is going to have it in their soul for the crowning Lord of all, and praising for his wonderful works to the children of men. He's God, and he justly demands, and he richly deserves all the praise. And we should shun all of the profane or profane and vain talkers that advocate creature ability, as if that when we get in trouble that it's up to us to change matters. Why, that's the devil's way to cause you to look away from crying to Jesus and asking for his grace and looking to him for that help that cometh from the hills. God's children are helpless, and they know it, and sometimes they fully realize it, and they know that where their help must come from, and realize that we are but dust and ashes, and if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? But what a foundation God's children have, how sure it is, how unshakable it is. They are the heirs of salvation. They are the children of the heavenly King. He's Jehovah, and they are the sheep of his pasture. And he lives, and he reigns, and he has promised to supply all of our needs according to the riches of his grace in glory. And his own doctrine is, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And I want to say that what God desires, even that he does, and he knows how, and he has purposed it, and he will also bring it to pass. And he showed a man things that must shortly be done, and he saw, showed him a throne that had a rainbow around it, and in the midst he saw a lamb as it had been slain. And it caused that man, although he was a sinner, to say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Whenever you believe it, you believe it. And when you doubt it, none but Jesus can prepare your heart to believe it. God alone prepares the heart. And it says, the eagle stirreth up her nest. You see, a young eagle, when it comes time to wean them, the eagle goes and tears up her nest. And she tears it up, and that little eagle was at home in that nest, and just as happy. And it's the same way with a child of God. When God comes to him and begins a good work in him, he goes to tear up his heart and take it out of him and give him another heart. And this eagle, he tears up his wings, he tears up that nest, and these little eagles is pushed off into the air. And if they don't fly, that eagle sweeps down under them and catches them on his wings. And it says that God prepared for them a hiding place in the wilderness, and they sing themselves, rising up above Mount Pisgah, on eagle's wings I fly. Sometimes it is sufficient if I was called to die. And I know that God will bear his children on the wings of love and on the arms of faith. And the wings of faith and love will not look in any other direction, only toward Jesus Christ and him crucified as being the Alpha and Omega of all things, both for all of his children in every age and in every dispensation. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it, and he was glad. It said concerning Moses and them that they all did drink of that spiritual rock, and that rock that followed them was Christ. He's God. He's the head over all things to his church. And this writer here says, and ye are complete in him. What can be added to a thing that's complete? You are complete in him. What God's children start with is what the Armenians working to get. And it can't be worked for, because God has been pleased to give it to his children. He says, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And the others are going to hear him say, depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you. I hope that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It makes no difference if a man has no faith, all of his best works are sin, because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And on the other hand, God viewed all of his children in the Lord Jesus Christ before the world began, and he said, I have not beheld iniquity in Jacob, nor perverseness in Israel. And again he says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And if you get a view of Jesus by the faith of God's elect, you'll be well pleased too, and can say with one of all, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And may he keep us, may he save us, and if he saves us, we'll be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation, and so all Israel shall be saved. And in the meantime, don't think it no strange thing if you have suffering and afflictions, because all of the fellowship that's in the real church is the fellowship with the suffering of the suffering Lamb of God. That's the real fellowship. If you have to suffer with him to fellowship him, he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. If you've never had no sorrow and never had no grief, you ain't got nothing. That's all there is to it. I don't want to be misunderstood. If you have never felt yourself lost, you're not saved. That's all there is to it. If you have not been poor in spirit, there's no blessing recorded in these scriptures which are profitable for doctrine. But it's blessed is the poor in heart, for theirs is the kingdom. The poor in spirit, them that mourn, and such, the poor afflicted, for God has chosen the weak and the foolish things of this world to bring to naught the things that are mighty. And God is God, and his strength is made perfect in weakness. I know I've been scattering as usual, but that don't change it at all. God will come to you. God will take care of his people. And in the issue, they'll live to sing like the poet, in all the paths through which I've trod, what mercies I've enjoyed. And yet I live this truth still, cast down but not destroyed. Why? Because God loved me no more and no cry. Solomon was amazed at that thing. He knew that the heavens and the heavens of heavens couldn't contain him, and that that the nations of the earth were but a dust of the balance. And he said, will God in very deed dwell with man upon the earth? That thing staggered even Solomon, a mighty preacher in Israel, but God revealed it to him. That God revealed it to him, and he knew it by faith. And it is altogether true that all of our salvation and all of everything was in that baby that was laid in that manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. In them little hands was life, death, and worlds unknown, hanging on his burning decree. And he's come forth from that virgin's womb, rejoicing as a strong man to run his course. And God laid on him every one of our sins and all of our iniquities, and he bound to the tree of the cross. And when he shed his blood, he was buried for our offenses, and he raised again for our justification. And it's a just and a holy and a right thing that the righteous shall hold on that way. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. Jesus done it all. And he cut it short in righteousness. One of all the people there was none with him. And he sends his spirit through to prepare his children's heart and to write his laws in their breast. And he teaches them as never man taught. And by night on their bed, he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. And he makes them to feel themselves lost. And in due time, he raises them up and puts their feet upon a rock. He establishes their going. And when he does, they're done with Sunday school. They're not going to be an Armenian when Jesus teaches them the truth. And until he does, there's no way to teach one. No way. God is first, and God is last, and God is in the middle of salvation. It's all the Lord. And it's not part God's work and part man's work. It's not part anything. God is God. And if he begins a good work, he'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, and we can't begin nothing. Now, we've had a good day here today, brethren. I was expecting other ministers, but the wise disposer of all things is otherwise determined. We've had a good day, and I hope to be thankful for it. I'm one that believes that God does not gather a congregation that's got any absentees in it. I don't believe that God would gather some sheep together that wasn't there. I just don't look at it that way, and I hope none of you do either. The blessing's in the gathering, and where two or three are gathered together in His name, He's always there. He may not be felt. He may not manifest Himself, but He never leaves them, and He never forsakes them. And God dwells in the midst of His people, and where He dwells, He sits on His throne, and there's no curse there. They're not under any law, and they are saved by grace, and the Scripture says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What liberty, what salvation, what perfect keeping, what a blessed hope, every last one that's got as even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, if I was going to call you, it wouldn't be a holy calling. It would be a sinner calling. But God calls, and He speaks to the heart. And when He calls, yeah, that voice still calls, come follow me, my love will last till end this day. He's a master. Oh, what a majestic, mighty Savior. The salvation is a majestic work. It's a mighty work. It's the work of God. And what it's for is to change and fashion you like unto His glorious body. One saw a glimpse of it, and he said, a great one in heaven, warm and cold with the sun, crowned 12 stars about her head and the moon at her feet. What a blessing to have the reflected glory of the Lord of heaven. Alright. We'll sing hymn number 148 if no one else has a selection. 148. And when we break up, brethren, I hope you'll never stop shaking hands. Because our people have always extended the right hand of fellowship. And a man told me one time, said, Brother Jew, if you don't believe in giving free to nothing, I said, no, I don't. I said, wait a minute, yes, I did too. He said, what is it? I said, well, one time the Apostle Paul was in a certain place, and he said, when they perceived the grace of God was in him, they extended to him a right hand of fellowship. I wouldn't trade it for, when I'm in my right mind, I wouldn't trade the right hand of fellowship for everything that the earth contains. 10,000 suns are not as bright as fellowship with God. There's nothing like it. And I don't want old Baptists to get so stiff-backed that they don't ever bend over and gather none of that manna. Because it's all on the ground. You've got to bend over to get it. And big eye and little you don't even know what the manna is, much less where it's at. I hope, brethren, see our brethren in this country continue the practice of shaking hands. Because if I had to see one the last time and I noticed, I couldn't think of nothing I'd rather do than shaking hands. Because there's something in a handshake that you can't put in language. While we sing, we close an open door for a section of mammals. And I won't say to you, Brother Rufus, I hope the Lord has fixed it till you come back. So glad you come. So glad all of you come. Glad to be here.
Amen. that into this day. Lord, I want to care over us all today in July night. Thank you.